Morning are two passages from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Verses 3 through 6, and then verses 11 through 14 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This morning, as I came to church, I saw the sky. It was beautiful, beautiful sunrise, and I could see the beauty of God and God's love and God's peace. And my prayer was, God, let all the people around us, around the world, they know and feel your love, your peace, just like us, as we have the first Sunday of the year. You know that a friend of mine, they came to visit us with his family for Christmas season, Christmas vacation, and his wife and two children, they joined our service last Sunday. And thank you so much for your hospitality. They really, really loved our church. And I can tell you it was quiet, busy, and loud days with two kids. They got up at 5 a.m. in the morning, of course, ready to have fun, like Energizer Bunny. And I had to play Uno and ring the handbell with them early in the morning. That was quite a challenge. A mission completed. Then the breakfast were ready, and the kids ran into the dining table, and they shouted, "Number one!" And one of them said, "I come first, you are the second." And the other one said, "No, I come first, you are the second." I don't know why they did that. Because there are not many people in the house. And they were the only two people who did that. Number one, number two. Anyway, that happened again. Again. Count off. We learned that count off from the first day in our school, especially when the kids have a field trip, fire drills, or outing. Teachers are so busy counting off. It's really important. Every one of us, every one of them has to be accounted for because we don't want to miss any of them. And we have so many counting off during the Christmas season, counting down. So many commercials, shopping days. Now it is not surprising that we see Black Friday and Christmas sale even before Halloween Day. And if you go to Walmart or somewhere else, you already find some Valentine's Day sale. I don't know. I gotta buy one for next year. I mean the Valentine's Day already. And we also remember one more counting off with the Salvation Army Red Kettle. Many of our church members, we went to Farm and Fleet and rang the bell. It was fun. And I learned from news media, now Salvation Army, they accept mobile donation. That's interesting. And perhaps our favorite holiday count off. It is a true countdown as the new calendar turns from 2019 to 2020. Another year has just begun. It is time to start a new year. It is time to initiate a new count. It is time once again to begin with number one. Maybe some resolution you have. And there is one more count off. Traditional counting off of the 12 days of Christmas. And today and tomorrow marks the last official holiday count off as we celebrate Epiphany, the end of the 12 days Christmas tide, which breeds Christmas and the Epiphany. And Epiphany is the Christian feast day that celebrates the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Emmanuel, which means God with you and me. God is with you and me. And we know that the nativity story itself started with a new counting off. According to Luke's Gospel, the reason why Joseph and Mary, they made a 9 or 10 day trip to Bethlehem, it was because of the emperor's decree for a new census, an accounting of the population. A new census would enable the Roman emperor and governors of the region to recalculate their tax-based possibility. A new census would let the government officials both check on and check out just who were living in their region under their authority. So census taking, it is still an important governmental tool in our time. The first census in the United States that was inaugurated on August 2nd in 1790. And it comes every 10 years. The last one took place in 2010, so it will be this year, the new one. Collecting new census information every 10 years. That is one of the original provisions the crafters of the Constitution called for. It is the easiest way for the powerful to keep tab, keep current, and keep control. And it reveals a significant change in the makeup of American households, both retailers and politicians. They await these new accounting information. Probably retailers, they are waiting for the new one because they want to know whom they should be targeting in their market planning to maximize their profit. And politicians, they are waiting. They anticipate the reapportionment of voting districts and the number of representatives added or subtracted based upon new population report. So we see, for the world, a census accounting is all about power, money, and influence. But when Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, a new kind of census was created, a divine census. It was a census of the hope that we have, just like the hope we have for the new year. It began with letting the world begin again at once. Under God's providence, it was a census which truly began everything anew through the power of the one, the Son of God, the baby Jesus. the one who came to offer a whole new possibility for the life for us, the life for all the people, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. In our scripture reading, it talks about the power of this new beginning, new census, the new way to head count in the present world and the world to come. Apostle Paul declares that Jesus coming into the world, it made it possible for us to become not statistic, not numbers, not taxable object, but to be counted in a whole new way as God's own adopted children through Jesus Christ. The census, which began with the baby born in Bethlehem, was not concerned with potential tax incomes or possible population shift. The census of the baby focused strictly on each one of us, each person, a unique human being, a child of God, who is counted as a whole and loved and longed one in God. And Jesus brought us a new way of counting. Once counted in this new census, every one of us, every one of God's children is eligible for a new inheritance as a child of God in Jesus Christ. Once counted in this new census, every one of us gets the greatest gift ever given to the whole new human beings. And the gift is the witness of the divine. God is with you and me. No matter what you're feeling right now, no matter what you're going through today and tomorrow, and what you're feeling, nothing can change. God is with you in your life. Nothing can change God's love and plan for you. That is the new census. God with you. Witness. Yes, we know Jesus said, "You will be my witness to proclaim the good news." And we have one more count of. I am with you. Witness. In the census which starts with Jesus Christ, every one of us is counted as a unique one. And the gift given to us is God's redemptive gift to the whole world. And Jesus counted as the new number one in this new divine census. And Jesus counts each and every one of us as a unique and new number one. Our task is, every day when we wake up, we feel it. We feel God's new census, God's love and presence in our lives. Just like the kids, number one, I'm the first, number two. But sadly, we heard during the week about a new war which will bring devastation to many people and many places. We know what's going to happen. We need to pray for the people. We need to pray for each one of our militaries and troops and all the people there as well. We need to pray for them to come home safe. And we also need to pray for the people there as well. We need to hear their cry, and we need to pray for our leaders as well. And we have heard about human trafficking. There are slaves in this world in the 21st century. We are living in a world in which exists the largest number of slaves throughout the human history, including this country. especially so many children and females, they are suffering to death under human trafficking. It's really sad. They are not counted as a human being in their horrible circumstances. It shouldn't happen, but it happens in our world. We need to pray for them and make a change to help them free. Not only for those in those circumstances, but also many people around us and many of us. Some of us are enslaved by depression, financial difficulty, unemployment, and loss of their beloved ones. Sometimes we feel we are not counted in our relationship with the people around us, and even in our relationship with our God. And we need God's touch, and we need to remember God's divine senses every day. And we need the touch of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. And we need to remember the people that Jesus changed their lives. In John chapter 8, we find a woman who was caught in adultery. People were going to kill her, stone her. But Jesus said, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first through the stone." And Jesus saved her from those people. And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you. Go your way. Start over your life." In Luke chapter 19, we find a tax collector whose name was Zechariah. Nobody wants to be with him. Everybody called him sinner or betrayer. But Jesus changed his life. And he said, salvation, just like the Apostle Paul's letter today we have. Salvation has come to you, your house. You are the Son of God. In John chapter 9, we find a homeless person who is blind from birth. Jesus touched his eyes, and he could see. Finally, the person who used to be blind speak to Jesus, "Lord, I believe in you. You are the Messiah." All of them, maybe people didn't count them in, but Jesus did. Jesus. And those people who met Jesus, they were transformed into a new being, a whole being in Jesus Christ. And we need that every day. 2,000 years ago, a decree went out from Emmanuel, God with us, and all the world should be counted, not just the rich, the powerful, and the famous, but also the weak, lame, the homeless, and the outcast. All the world should be counted. Each and every one of us should be counted. And under this decree of Jesus Christ, God counts you and me as God's chosen one. That is the one I want to remember every day of this year. It will change our lives. It will change our behavior. It will change our attitude. It will change God's work in our lives. We need to remember, you are counted in Jesus Christ. Let's remember that we are counted in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we need to help our neighbors, our families. They are counted in Jesus Christ. Amen.